Self-control, topic for tonight. I suspect nobody in here but me has problems with that. But I know every once in a while I need to preach about it because I need to study it, and I need to think about it, and I need to work on that. So tonight we're going to talk about self-control. If you don't need the help with it, you can share it with somebody else. But I think probably all of us do at times indulge when we shouldn't. Look it up a definition of self-control and self-discipline. I thought, well, that helps a lot. That really gives you temperance. To hold oneself in. That's the definition out of the dictionary. I thought, that's not a lot there. But you know, when you think about it, self-control can go on a whole range. Self-control at the table. Portion size. Number of times you go back to get more food. Self-control in your temper. Self-control in leisure. Self-control in work. Self-control. Holding yourself in. Is it a biblical topic? Absolutely. Look in Galatians, the 5th chapter, starting with verse 22. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And sometimes I wish there was a period right there, but there's not. He says the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. Let's not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Did you hear that? If we're Christ, we've crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. How do you define self-control better than that? Crucifying your passions and your desires. Controlling yourself the way that God would have you to control yourself. Oh, we get told, but you know, it's my right. I have that privilege of doing what I want, what gives me pleasure. Look in the 25th chapter of the book of Proverbs. I'm going to be looking at verse number 28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Now, we don't think much about that today. Columbus doesn't have any walls. Well, I guess they do a few flood walls here and there. I'm not sure they work, but they're there. But in this day and time, when this was written, the city without walls was open to any enemy that wanted to come in. There was no protection whatsoever. So the picture is one who has no rule over his own spirit is just like a city that is open to anyone to come and attack. Please, won't you come and get me? And isn't that a very good picture of the way it is if we can't control ourselves? We're open to every temptation. We're open to every thing that there could possibly be that could come after us. Look in the 16th chapter of Proverbs, and I'm going to be looking at verse 32. He who is slow to anger, he says, is better than the mighty, and he who rolls his spirit than he who takes a city. Now, the hero of the day was the general that could control an army enough and had tactics well enough that he could take a city. He was top dog. God is telling us if we rule our spirit, we're mightier than the one who takes a city. If we're slow to anger. As a matter of fact, when we really stop and think about it, self-control is absolutely essential to obey God. We simply must be able to control ourselves. Let's look in the book of Psalms, the 119th Psalm, and I'm going to be looking at 101, verse 101. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts, he says in 100. I have restrained my feet. I have restrained my feet. Did you hear that? Not you've restrained my feet. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. The psalmist knows and understands. I have a responsibility. Oh, the religious world likes to tell us that it's all up to God. There's nothing we can do, no responsibility we have. We're saved by faith alone. listen to the radio, and they'll tell you all you got to do is put your hand on the radio and pray the sinner's prayer, and God will take you. The psalmist said, I have restrained my feet from every evil way. I have a responsibility, and the responsibility is self-control. As I thought about this and I tried to put it together, I have 5 points under me needing to control myself. Look in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to be looking at chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons of our warfare, Paul says, are not carnal, 2 Corinthians 10, 4. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing in every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought is to be in captivity. I have to control my thinking. I can't just think about whatever I want. I have to control my thoughts till they're in obedience to Christ. That's hard. Because we live in a time of tremendous temptation. Tremendous video and audio and written coming at us just one right after another after another after another. The fast-paced life, the fast-paced information that comes at us makes it so hard to control ourselves and to control our thinking and not to become distracted and go off and, as the saying goes, chase rabbits, but to think about what you're doing and stay with it. Every thought has to be into captivity. Job has a statement in Job, the 31st chapter, that I think is very interesting and one that our society could certainly use today. And that's verse number 1. Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look at a young woman? I've made a covenant with my eyes. I've made a covenant with God and myself and my wife, and that's my joy. Why should I look at a young woman? Why should I do that? I shouldn't if I'm going to be pleasing to God. I need to control what I'm seeing, because there is so much out there that is distracting away from God that stops us from doing the things that God would have us to do. Let's look at 2 Peter, and this time the 3rd chapter, and I'm going to be looking at verse number 10. The day of the Lord, he says, 1 Peter 4:10 or 3:10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it shall be burned up. We need to know and I'm in 2 Peter. I need to be in 1 Peter. That didn't sound right as I was trying to think, what was I going to say about that? He says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. I have to have control not only over my thinking and my seeing and my hearing, but I need to have control over my tongue. I need to have control over my speaking, my talk. If I want to see good days, if I want to love life, then I'll refrain my tongue from evil. And I'll refrain my tongue. I will do that. I can't say, well, God didn't stop me. I did it. Because I have a responsibility. We talked today in our Bible class about excuses and how, you remember what Adam said, that woman you gave me? And the woman said, the serpent led me? We can't do that, folks. We have to know and understand there's self-control that I have to have over me. Now look in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in verse 27. Many, many years ago when I was in school down at Memphis, this was the first verse I ever tried to translate from the original language. from the Greek. This passage has a special meaning to me. And then as I grew more and more to understand what the verse was saying, I understood why the professor gave it to us. Listen to him. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul said, I'm an apostle. I'm an inspired man. When I speak and when I write God's word, it is exactly as he wants it to be. But I, as an inspired man, have to discipline my own behavior, my own body, and I have to bring that into subjection, obvious subjection to God. He says, or if I don't, I'm going to become disqualified for heaven. I'm going to be disqualified to be one of God's children, even when I'm preaching to others. So there's self-discipline is needed to obey God's word in thinking, in seeing, in hearing, in talking, and in behavior. How do you do that? Where do you get the strength? Where do you get the knowledge of how to do that? Well, there's a whole industry out there. You can go to the bookstores and you can find how-to books on all of this. But I want to tell you about the book that was written to really teach us about self-control, because biblical knowledge is needed to have self-control the way God would have it to be. Let's look in Psalm 119 and verse number 11. Your word, the psalmist said, I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. God is telling us biblical knowledge is essential if we're going to have self-control. Now let's look at our five topics, thinking and seeing and hearing and talking and behavior, and see what the Bible has to say about it. What knowledge would God have us to have? Well, Philippians, the fourth chapter, is where we're going to start, verse number 8. Paul, writing to the Philippian church, says, finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, and whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, King James says, meditate upon these things. Or the New King James does. The King James says, think on these things. English Standard says, dwell on these things. In other words, control your thinking and put them on the good, the just, the noble, the true, the lovely, the pure, the praiseworthy. Not on all this other stuff. It's out there. It was out there in the days of Paul. Maybe not coming quite as fast and as furious as it is today. But folks, God expects us to think on the right things, on the good things. And the way that we know that is because God's Word tells us. God's Word tells us we need to think about good things, pure things, lovely things. Because there's enough ugly things and twisted things and sick things out there that are calling for our attention. Let's go to the book of Psalms this time, 101, verse 3. David says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I will make that decision. I will control what I see, and I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. The obvious implication is if we don't decide to set nothing wicked before us, we will fall away, because Satan will find a way to pull us away. And I have that responsibility. Now, I definitely can ask for help from God, help from my brothers and sisters, but I will set nothing evil before my eyes. We have a responsibility as individuals. Look in the book of James. We'll talk for just a moment. We've spent some time here already. We're going to be talking about hearing. And James 1:22. He says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If any man's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. We have to have biblical knowledge about what we hear and then put it to use. We can't just sit there like a sponge and suck it up. We have to put it into play, because the one that is a doer of the word is the one that James tells us, speaking by inspiration, is the one who'll be blessed in what he does. Self-control. Tough topic sometimes when we think about it. Let's look in the book of Ephesians and think about what he says about us talking. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt word, Ephesians 4:29, proceed out of your mouth. Now, who's told that? Each and every one of us as an individual. I'm to have control over letting no corrupt words proceed out of my mouth, but that which is for good, for necessary edification, to impart grace to the hearer. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Paul's telling them this is serious stuff. When you do not control your mouth, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. But that's the one you're sealed with for redemption. We must control what we say. We can't say, I lost my temper. No excuse. You're not supposed to lose your temper. You're supposed to have self-control. I didn't mean it. Don't say it if you don't mean it. You're supposed to have self-control. Now let's look in Romans 12 as we start thinking about how we ought to behave. 12 verses 1 and 2. Paul told this church, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, I have control over my body. I have control over my actions. And I am to live in such a way that I am presenting my body as a living sacrifice to God. And I'm to make sure that I'm not conformed to the world, but I'm transformed. That conformed is the picture of fitting into the mold so that you're like everybody else. You know, that's a real problem for a lot of teenagers. They don't want to be different. They want to be like everybody else. The way they dress, the way they talk, wait a minute. That's not just teenagers. That's too many adults. We want to be like everybody else. We want to be a part of the group. We want to be accepted. This passage says, I'm not to be conformed to the world. I'm not to let the world decide my lifestyle, my dress, my actions, where I go, who I go with, and what I say, but I'm to be transformed. That's a word that we know that they use to talk about the process of taking wood and burning it, and you're transforming it, and it becomes ashes and heat. It's just like we do today when we throw the coal into the furnace and we run the generators and we transfer that carbon energy into electrical energy. We're to be transformed. We're to be changed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what's to be the result of all of that? That you may prove, you may demonstrate, you may show what's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Who's to do that? I am. You are. We each are to have self-control. It's absolutely essential to obey God's word, and Bible knowledge is essential to having real self-control. Look in 2 Peter, first chapter, and verse number 5. Peter says, for this very reason, and listen as he adds these up, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, Add to faith and virtue knowledge. Add to faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control. To self-control, add perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Biblical knowledge is the thing that comes right before self-control. If I do not have biblical knowledge, I will not have self-control. If I don't understand what God's Word is saying, and I don't know what He has to say, it's very easy for Satan to get me on that. If I know God's Word, I've added knowledge, then I can have self-control. So I ask you tonight, do you have self-control? Or do you lose your self-control every once in a while? We need to be strong. We need to be faithful. If we're going to be the one who has this brotherly kindness and love, then we'll be, verse number 8 out of 2 Peter 1, if these things are yours and abound, he said, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute. Stop and think about that. If I have to have these to not be barren and unfruitful, if I don't have them, if I don't have self-control, I'm going to be barren and I'm going to be unfruitful in the knowledge that I have. In other words, I'm going to be arrogant. I'm going to be sarcastic. I'm going to be putting people down. I'm going to be mocking them because I have no self-control. I need to understand if these things are mine and abound, and that includes self-control, then I will not be barren. I will not be unfruitful. Peter goes on to say, he who lacks these things, and that includes self-control, is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. And that's my plea for all of us tonight, to be more diligent to make our calling and election sure. If you do these things, you'll never stumble, for an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That entrance is there for you. It's there for me. God wants to give it to us. Have we been fruitful in our lives by demonstrating self-control? If you need our help and you need our prayer, won't you come and won't you do it right now while you stand and while you sing?